thoughts for a while, and I thought, how appropriate to be blinded right before Mass when we're given this first reading, which literally actually kind of deals with that image. And so I want us to just, for a moment, for the homily today, look at what is happening in our first reading, what's being shown and revealed to us about the magnificence of our God. Because here Isaiah is in the presence of our God, and he identifies the seraphim. Seraphim being in the hierarchy of the angelic host, they are the highest. They are the closest to the throne of God. And they are described as having six wings. And a lot of times it's said that those wings, the bottom wings cover their feet, and the top wings cover their faces. And a lot of this is because of the radiant power and glory of the throne of God. Seraphim comes from the Hebrew word seraph, which literally means to burn. Because they, closest to that throne of God, are getting the full blast of his pure and radiant love. This is the image of our God. This is the reality, the wondrous magnificence of our God. To the point where when Isaiah is in that presence and he realizes, I'm nowhere near pure enough to be near this radiant love, he's like, oh shoot, I'm in trouble. And one of the seraphim comes and it brings an ember from the altar to purify him, to purge him, to cleanse him, to make it possible for him to even be in the presence of God. Because we as human beings, there's nothing we can do to deserve that. And the pure, radiant love of our God will wipe away anything that is not love. And so at first, us as mortal beings, that should kind of scare us to think that our God is so magnificent, almost to the point of being unapproachable. In fact, in the letter, one of the letters to Timothy, St. Paul describes our God as dwelling in unapproachable light. Our fourth Eucharistic prayer actually quotes that reality. Here is the magnificence of our God that we are talking about. And we as human beings, we can't do anything to climb that mountain, to approach him. We need him to come to us. Thankfully, he did. God comes to us and becomes like us. No longer do we need an ember touched to our lips to purify us, but our very God becomes human. Jesus Christ dies on the cross for our sins. He becomes the mediator. He is the one that purifies us and makes us able to participate in relationship with a God who is far beyond anything that we even have the capacity to comprehend. One of my favorite images of God that is in literature is actually in the children's series, The Chronicles of Narnia, by C.S. Lewis. And the Christ figure, the God figure in those stories is Aslan, and he's a lion. And the phrase is said multiple times about Aslan. He's not a tame lion. He's wild, but he is good. And I love that thought when thinking about our God. There's nothing we can do to put limits on him. He is not a tame God. He is magnificent. He is radiant. He is powerful. He is pure. But thankfully for us, he is love. And so within the magnitude that he is, he desires the good of us. And so he becomes like us. And he invites us to follow him, to participate and be in relationship with him. That is good. For our Eucharistic prayer today, I'm going to use Eucharistic prayer 4. Like I said at the beginning, it speaks about our God dwelling in unapproachable light, but then the whole rest of the Eucharistic prayer is cast in the light of the nature of his love. And it tells exactly what we received in today's readings about, about a God who is so magnificent that we can't approach him, that the ones, the beings, the creatures closest to him are literally come from the name to burn because of how radiant his love is, how powerful it is. And yet, in love, he gives himself to us. What is our response to a God like that? What is our response, our praise of one who is so magnificent? And how do we enter into and respond to his invitation? Just before Mass, I got back from a weekend with some of our college students at the SEEK conference. We were in Kansas City, and the closing Mass, Father Chris Martin from St. Louis, he posed this question to the college students there at the conference. And what he asked of them, what he proposed, he said, in today's scripture, we have all these people who were called, who are called by God, and their response. And a lot of times when we think about God inviting us into a relationship, what we think of is us saying, yes, I'll let you be part of my life. It's like we give God permission to be one of the things in our life. But a God so radiant, a God so magnificent, a God so far beyond our comprehension, that's not what the invitation is. Our God says, I want all of you to be part of my life. It's not the other way around. We don't try to fit him into the pieces of our life. We give ourselves completely into his presence. And he repeated it several times, and I think that's a powerful thing for us to sit with. How are we responding to the presence of our God? Peter leaves everything and follows him. His brother, his cousins follow. Isaiah says, here I am, I will go. We are invited to be part of the presence of our God. What is our response to that magnificent, good, radiant love?